Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Matthew 3, verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We haven't seen a whole lot about John the Baptist, but consider that at this point in which Jesus comes to be baptized would have been the high point of John's ministry. It would have been, you know, that point in which he hands things off over to Jesus. So he's reaching the end of his ministry as Jesus begins. And John already understood this. John knew that he was going to have to fade into the background, if you will, and give Jesus the foreground. And he had every intention of doing so. But when Jesus comes to him, John struggles a little bit with the idea of baptizing Jesus because, as it states, John was preaching a baptism of repentance, and he knew that Jesus didn't need repentance. Jesus had not sinned. He knew who he was. And so whenever they have this discussion between the two of them, Jesus points out, hey, we need to fulfill all righteousness. We need to fulfill everything. So just let this be. Let it go. And this was a special moment. As we see in the very end of our reading, the silence of heaven is broken for the Father to pay witness to who Jesus was. Not just the Spirit descending as a dove, but him to say, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. It's not every day the silence of heaven is broken. In fact, we have it recorded for us three times in the New Testament. That's it. Three times in which the silence of heaven is broken. Now, just to put another piece of the puzzle in with this, we don't have it recorded in the Gospels, but history states that it would have been common at a situation like this where people were coming out to John, heeding his message of repentance, and then being baptized, that at that point they would make some sort of a confession of sin. So that may also be part of the reason for that discussion between John and Jesus, for him to say, you know, it would be better if I just let you baptize me, that kind of an idea there. Along with this recognition that John would have needed to be baptized of him when we're talking about repentance, was also this idea of the recognition that Jesus was greater than John. And I think that's also part of why he would have prevented Jesus from being baptized at this moment. It's because he recognizes that Jesus is so much greater than him that he doesn't feel worthy. He doesn't feel, he feels like Jesus ought to be the one in charge. Jesus ought to be the one bestowing righteousness through this baptism of repentance rather than him submitting to it. And so, again, Jesus says, let it be so for now. Now, if I might just sort of take a sidebar here for a moment, it's interesting that so many people today resist the idea of baptism for the remission of sins, when even Jesus, who had no need of this baptism, submitted to it. He was baptized, and he didn't have a problem with it. Yet so many people who have a desperate need for repentance resist the idea of being baptized for the remission of sins. Many of them are willing to say that they'll be baptized as some sort of a sign of their salvation, but we don't have anything that tells us that anyone is ever saved before baptism. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21, Baptism does also now save you, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's part of our obedience, and it's part of how we take advantage of the blood of Jesus in order to be forgiven of sin. Paul makes that pretty clear in Romans chapter 6 as well. So Jesus submits to this baptism, and we likewise need to have a submissive attitude. Jesus is exemplifying for us the idea of submitting to an ordinance in order to fulfill righteousness. The Father makes that statement that He is well pleased with the beloved Son, and part of that is because He submitted to this in order to fulfill all righteousness. And this is really the perfect handing off point, the point in which John tells his disciples, "This is the one I've been telling you about. Now go follow him." You know, that's remarkable, the attitude that John the Baptist had regarding Jesus, because many men would not want to give up their followers. Many men would say, "Well, I don't want to fade into nothing." And John ends up, you know, being imprisoned and then beheaded. But many men would say, "No, I want to keep my followers. You go find your own followers." But no, you don't see that attitude at all with John. Yes, some stayed with John even while he was in prison. But John is telling them, "This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. He's the one I've been preparing the way for. He's the one I've been talking about." Jesus is talking here with John about higher purposes and a bigger plan. A bigger plan than one man, a bigger plan than one moment. A plan that God came up with at the beginning of time in order to save man from sin. And Jesus is fully submissive to the Father's will and to that plan of righteousness to be that example and to set the way for us. Think about what it means to you to fulfill righteousness. It's not just a casual statement about Jesus. Fulfilling righteousness means fulfilling the plan. And for us, when we're talking about righteousness, we're talking about becoming righteous. Not of our own ability, but by the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus, along with our faithful obedience, a faith that moves us, a faith that motivates us, a faith that demands that we act upon that faith. And so Jesus has set the perfect example for us. And our hope is that by following that example and becoming righteous in the sight of God by Jesus' blood, that at the end we will hear a similar statement from God the Father to say, "I am well pleased." Then we would be welcomed into that heavenly abode. That will be truly a wonderful day. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.